Is there more to midlife than just getting through it? Absolutely. Welcome. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham, jazz artist turned midlife mentor, and I'm here to say to you loud and clear, it's time for your midlife crescendo. Hello, friends. Welcome back. Last week on Midlife Crescendo, we talked with Dr. Annika Becca, aka the girlfriend doctor, about balancing our hormones pre, during, and post menopause. This week, we are having part two of that conversation. I think you're going to glean a lot of great wisdom from it. This one delves into struggles with sex and intimacy midlife, vaginal health, as well as postmenopausal diseases and what we can do about that. So if you have little ears around, you might want to pop those earphones in or listen at a later time. At the end of the show, we'll remind you where you can find resources from Dr. Anna and about an upcoming Magic Menopause 8-week program she is offering. For those who weren't here last week, Dr. Anna is a certified OBGYN who specializes in menopausal health. She's a speaker and best-selling author of The Hormone Fix, Keto Green 16, and Menopause. We are picking up our conversation with the final question I asked from last week's episode of Midlife Crescendo. Here's part two of our discussion with the girlfriend doctor. Moving into menopause with all those other things that are happening with our body, that makes oxytocin almost even more important to cultivate. And I know you have ideas of how to do that, or you have experience of how to do that. Can you talk about how we can naturally cultivate that oxytocin in our bodies?
Yes, absolutely. And there's so many beautiful ways. And I love to say, okay, well, first of all, what puts a smile on your face? So I'll ask you, Debbie, what puts a smile on your face?
Well, immediately my grandchildren.
Absolutely, right? You can just think of them and your physiology shifts. You get right. A bigger smile, very authentic joy, authentic yes. joy. And so, and that's, I mean, that's just beautiful. That's powerful. And playing with a pet, my dog, Sandy, she comes, she's a little farm rescue Australian Shepherd. And she comes to the door when I get home and she's all shaking and shivering and just like loving, wanting some attention. And always, always she's that way. And that just that joy, just being able to play with a pet, to receive that joy in our life increases oxytocin. Of course, orgasm. Orgasm is very high levels of oxytocin. It peaks oxytocin and it gives us that bond to our partner, that connection. It's why sex and intimacy is so critical in marriage and relationships. And it's just that piece that ties us together. And that's why you don't want to have sex if you're dating too soon, because you're going to be bound to someone. Then it becomes a yes when it probably should be a no. And you right. just, because you have that physiology that's connecting you, that oxytocin is in there. And so massage, I have one scheduled for Friday. There's my self-care, hour and a half long, and I can't wait. So, you know, massage if it feels good for you, facials, doing things you enjoy, walking on the beach, going out in nature. And I discovered this, that oxytocin, this powerful hormone, it is the most powerful hormone in our body, and it's a hormone of longevity. Again, and I lecture to multimillionaires, and I tell them, you can have all the wealth in the world, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. You have right. nothing. If you can't feel it and receive it, you have nothing. And what have you worked this hard for?
Right. And you talk, I was thinking about that actually after I did my last podcast when I was talking about connection from my book, Dancing in the Kitchen, that one of the things that I talk a lot about is couples having fun together. And again, if you have fun, then you're releasing that oxytocin and that makes you feel connected. That allows you then to move into more physical intimacy. But women in menopause struggle with physical intimacy. Vaginal dryness, bladder leakage, or there's painful intercourse. And so are there things that they can do to help them with that?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. So there's so many things that we can do. And first of all, it's understanding if you have pain with sex, whether it's on entrance, on penetration, or deep penetrated sex, you need to see a gynecologist. We have to evaluate you. I have to evaluate the pelvic floor and see what's going on. Is there anything, you know, what's behind this, so to speak? Could just be and I don't mean it lightly, but it could just be vaginal dryness and the normal changes that are happening over time. And with hormones, we can fix that. And beyond estrogen, this is such a big mistake. Estrogen works on the mucosal layer of the vagina, so it will help with that moistness, but it doesn't work deeper than the mucosal layer. DHEA, however, which is an adrenal hormone that decreases from our mid to late 20s in all of us, men and women, it works on all three layers of the vaginal wall of the pelvic floor. And I always say, we want to address clitoris to anus, because loss of clitoral sensitivity decreases sensitivity and orgasm and pleasure, as well as, discomfort or urinary tract infections from intercourse. And so being able to repair the pelvic floor makes a really big difference. And I had a patient recently, a young woman, 41, 42 years old. She'd flown in from South America to come see me, and she had a hysterectomy for endometriosis at age 35 or 36. So endometriosis, whether it's a little or a lot, can cause pain and inflammation. And so she'd had a complete hysterectomy, but wasn't given any hormones. Wasn't given any hormones. And so, like she says, when she has sex with her husband, it feels like knives are stabbing her. And she says, I have to power through and cringe till we're done. He goes, and it's, we rarely have sex now because, number one, he doesn't want to hurt me. And so I think it's like that. And I said, I examined her and everything. And when there's endometriosis, there's other issues, often leaky gut, et cetera. And I address that inflammation, but also direct hormones to the vaginal and vulvar tissue. I said, within a month, she'll feel, 80 to 100% better. And then, she's been struggling for 5 years with this. So it's so disheartening. And women in postmenopause, they're told, you have to power through it, or here, have some vaginal estrogen, which gets onto your male partner, which affects their erectile function. And, you think of these things, it's like, it is not good. It is not good. And it creates roommates instead of lovers. And fortunately for both men and women, again, the vagina is a reflection of our physical health, our gut health. And for men, erections are a function of their physical health, gut health, and cardiovascular health, especially. So it is important to, it's important to address. It's not like some people dismiss it, and they're like, from menopause, I've heard my patients say, I feel like I'm shut down from the waist down, no longer connected from the waist down. And just reconnecting to that, that's part of our, that's a powerful energy. Our sexual energy is a powerful energy. And then having that intimacy is so important to make our natural oxytocin.
Yes, and our relationships, our God-given relationships, because God created it to be that way. Yes. And to connect. You talked about all of that. I want to talk about rest, because women, I know a lot of the women that I talk to in midlife, they're tired, and especially post-menopause, as they're a lot of things have declined, and they might not be doing some of these things. They're tired, and there's a lot of fatigue, but they feel guilty resting and taking that time. And I think there is a real connection with the rest and adrenals and our menopausal health.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I've learned this from, some of the leaders in the field of age management and longevity medicine, as well as pioneers in restorative health. Like, for example, Dr. Terry Walls, who had suffered from MD, trained in one of the best universities, and was in a wheelchair in her 50s, and was told, you're never going to, it's just going to get worse, but keep taking all these meds. And she said, there's got to be something else. And she started working with her diet, nutrition, and supplements, and her lifestyle, and changed things up. And she is walking. I actually danced with her at a party. So
that's amazing.
So amazing. So inspiring, this woman. And when I interviewed her a while back on my podcast, she said that she takes like 3 to 4 hours every morning before she starts her day. And she does sauna. She does a cold plunge or cold shower. She does her journaling, gratitude journaling. She prepares a very healthy meal to get the day started off, and includes a lot of greens, a lot of the crucifers, like in keto green. And just taking that time every morning. She pushed back when her day, her calendar starts. And so she had, you know, was able to do that. And I'm not going to say she had a luxury to do that. She made a decision to do that. She made a decision to change her times around, and she's more productive. And again, she sold, you know, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of copies of her books and all of this. I mean, she's like, it turned her life around. We often feel, and I have felt before, controlled by my agenda. I have to do more, to make more, to be better, to be more influential, to support my family as a single mom for now 13 years, to, you know, to do for others. Well, where is me in that? Right. And that's where the rest comes in. And I used to joke, well, you know, rest is for when you're dead. That's why it says rest in peace on your casket, you know, or on your tombstone. And it's so not true. The truth is, like, to govern your time now. So I'll give you a little clip into my day today. And it was, you know, I got up at 6:45, you know, 6:45 actually. And my, I had my trainer at, you know, 7, and I worked out 7 to 8. And then I got in the sauna, my infrared sauna. I use sunlight and infrared sauna, so it's not really nice sauna. And did my journaling. I did some preparing for the day, mindset, like how I want to set my goals and set myself up for the day. And then I made, I used my leftovers from last night. I had a primal beef burger, which is ground beef with organ meat in it. I'd made a burger with onions and some seasoning yesterday, and tomatoes and some zucchinis, you know, sauteed zucchinis and onions. And that's how I broke my fast this morning, was with that. And so I usually tell, and that was about 10 a.m. And so I usually tell my clients, like, to break fast for women, especially between 10 and 11 a.m. to keep their metabolism up. Like, we want to work with our metabolism, not against it. And for many of us, if we're waiting till after 12 to eat, we've already slowed down our metabolism. I made that mistake for a while, because when you're in ketosis, you're not really hungry. And so, you know, then, you know, you're not getting enough protein, you're not eating enough, and fasting too long.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I didn't even realize that, because I often thought it was better to go longer and longer to fast.
It depends. It depends on you. I think long-term, what I found in most women, one of the things that I created were urine test strips with pH and ketones and uric acid on it. But for, like, my physiology, when I'm fasting for longer periods of time, I produce a lot of uric acid. And that's a survival mechanism. It slows down your metabolism. However, in high levels of uric acid can produce gout, but in women, they got to be really high for you to be symptomatic. But it accumulates in your body and slows down your metabolism.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that about checking your pH until I read some of your material. So that's awesome. Talk a little bit about postmenopausal diseases.
Yeah. So, like, in postmenopausal diseases, the most common things we see are heart disease, which peaks postmenopause for women. That's when it starts to accelerate. So we see postmenopause osteoporosis. I'm seeing it in 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds quite often now, because of that chronic acidity. It's going to break down the bone to get the minerals in your system. So osteoporosis, dementia, you know, memory loss, those issues are
heart disease, right?
Heart disease is the number one. Heart disease, osteoporosis, and mental disorders as well, like depression, mood swings. And then,
but we change that by changing our diet?
Absolutely. There's more and more research coming out looking at brain health and hormones and how we're eating, when we're eating, what we're eating. All of that makes a huge difference. And again, for osteoporosis and heart health, especially, and brain, I mean, everything, get that urine pH at 7 or greater, 7, 7.5, 8. I mean, those are good levels for your urine pH.
So following the keto green is really a key. And then what are some of the tips that you would recommend to the audience of things to really start, besides reading the hormone fix?
And mandatory reading.
Mandatory reading for menopausal ladies, reading the hormone fix, and then working through keto green. And I love that you changed that diet up enough that it really does help. I have my brain fog has cleared up, I think, just from doing that.
It's amazing, right? And as little as 2 weeks, you feel a significant improvement. I hear this over and over and over again, and it really does make a difference. And so that is it. So, you know, like I said, describe what my breakfast, what I broke fast was like, and lunch was, I fried up an almond flour tortilla, just one of them. It's about 6 grams of carb. And then fried up a couple eggs and some smoked salmon with and I sprinkled arugula on it and some spinach and drizzled it with a good mineral salt, Himalayan sea salt, and some other seasonings. I use something called za'atar, which is an Arabic food. It's dried thyme and sesame and some salt in there. It's just delicious and adds a great additional alkalinizers, great for your brain. And I cooked that up in some ghee and I put that in the almond flour tortilla. And that was my very, very hearty, beautiful keto green lunch. And for dinner, tonight might just be some bone broth or a shake, if anything. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Well, speaking of longevity and health, I have heard you tell a story about your dad, and I'd like you to talk about that, because I think that midlife is like you said, a new spring and a great opportunity for us to grow and have more possibility. And I don't think aging, that there's any cap on rejuvenating our health or revitalizing our health in aging. So would you talk about your story about your dad? I want you to tell that story.
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, so one of the things I learned through my mom's health, my mom passed away when she was 67. I was still in residency at the time. And she was, you know, I mean, she had struggled for 15 years more with heart disease, 15 years from her first heart surgery when she was only 52 years old. And so, and I was a resident, and she had the best surgeons and the best doctors. And I was like, well, what happened? And she had multi-organ system failure. Like that, she went into surgery for the second heart surgery that she was undergoing and never made it out of surgery. The surgeon's like, the surgery went perfectly, but you know, my mom passed away, so she never made it out. And I was, you know, in my heartbroken stage, like all of this made no sense to me, and I have to make sense of it. And so I looked at, okay, well, what was the issue? And as I've come to realize, it was what I call the devil's pitchfork: adrenal fatigue or adrenal hypofunction, inflammation, and hormonal imbalance. Those are three things are the devil's pitchfork. None of that was really well addressed with my mother. And at the time of her passing, she was on 11 prescription medications, no two of which were ever studied in one person, let alone a menopausal female. And so it really made me relook at everything I was learning and really try to, like, okay, what was the underlying? What could I do differently for my mother? And that's why I'm so passionate now, is that I want to empower people what their ability is, what our human capacity is to be able to heal our own bodies is enormous. It's enormous. And it's 100% within our power. And so, when, you know, I wasn't able to help my mom, I really dug into the root cause medicine, functional medicine, you know, more into the bioidentical hormones and understanding all of these things. And I had my own life journey. But when my dad was 79 years old, so 79, my mom had passed away 15 years or so earlier. And he came to visit us. My dad, you know, Debbie, was a World War II veteran. He was 17 years old when he joined the Navy for World War II. Was out on the aircraft carrier ships, and you know, then he was a naval attaché in the Middle East in Palestine and Israel, and so he was a naval attaché there, and so he could basically, a spy essentially, he could make anyone drink and tell him anything. I mean, that was his gifting. He was happy. I never heard him say a bad word about anyone. He was just that guy, right? Anywhere you mm-hmm. go, before you know it, you know, he's friends with the person sitting next to him. And just a lovely, lovely human. And so at 79, he had flown in from Philadelphia, from Doylestown via Philadelphia to our home in Georgia. And we picked him up in the airport, and he needed the wheelchair because he couldn't walk. And so we wheeled him through the airport, brought him home, and he basically sat on the couch his first week with us and was watching movies and playing Sudoku with my kids. And you know, I'm like, Dad, and he was grumpy and irritable. And I was like, what is going on? He goes, you know, Anna, I just don't feel well. And I said, okay, do you want me to call your cardiologist? Let me see what's going on. And he said, yes. And so I called his cardiologist, Dr. Smith. And he said, you know, I went through my dad's list of symptoms and what he was experiencing and how he was behaving. And he said, you know, Anna, your dad's 79. He's lived a good life. And then he stopped. I was waiting for him to say something else. And he didn't. Yes. And so I said, well, you know, I'm a gynecologist, right? But do you mind if I intervene with some of the stuff that, you know, I'm learning and doing? And he said, sure, no problem. Just let me know what you do. And I said, I may change some of his medications. He says, no problem. And so, you know, he'd get like, what was that, right? Basically washing his hands of my father.
Right.
Like 79. All right. So I go to my dad after I hang up the phone, and I'm like, Dad, are you done living? Because your doctor's done with you. And my dad, he just in his good humored way, he laughs and he goes, well, I'd like to see 80. I'd like to see 80. And I said, okay, well, and he goes, Anna, I don't feel good. I'll do whatever you tell me. And so very quickly, I took him off of three of his prescription medications. He was on 7 at the time. He was on 120 units of insulin. I had him following a very early version of my Keto Green plan. And injected him with testosterone once a week. I gave him some supplements and changed up his diet, took away his whiskey and beer for a little bit. And on condition, he said. And so he went in 30 days, he lost 30 pounds. He went down from 120 units a day at 79 years old to 20 units of insulin a day. 20 units in just 30 days, I weaned him off, and his blood sugars were better controlled than they were in his prior decade. And not only that, Debbie, which is like the best part, is he was out on the tennis court playing with the kids.
Wow, that's amazing.
And even better, he lived to 92 good years.
That's amazing. That is just amazing. And it just proves that what good health does to our bodies and makes possible for us. So that is awesome. I love that story.
Thank you for letting me share. I love that story too. Think of my father. It's so beautiful.
Well, I love that you helped him and that you were willing to take that he was willing to try the natural methods to make a difference in his life. And because people are living age, my mom's best friend is 104, you know, and it's amazing. She still lives alone and takes care of herself. And it's so possible if we take care of our bodies, balance our hormones, especially in midlife. We have a lot of enriched years left in us. So we just need to be attentive to that.
Yeah. And just like the story with my father, you know, you can be better tomorrow, no matter what you're dealing with. I have clients with metastatic breast cancer, not given 6 months to live, you know, have 5 more quality, lovely years of their lives and beyond that. And so, I mean, this is like, it's powerful what we can do for our bodies and the body's ability to regenerate and repair itself. And I think that's the message that I really want people to know, that no matter what you're dealing with, you can be better tomorrow.
That's awesome. Tell us now where we can find you online.
Find me at dranna.com. So very easy, dranna.com. And I'm at The Girlfriend Doctor on social media. Please follow me and share. I appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely. And listen to her podcast. It's amazing. You will learn so much. Well, it's been lovely to have you here, Dr. Anna. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Debbie.
Well, ladies, I hope you enjoyed our two-part conversation with Dr. Anna. She truly has a remarkable story of recovering her health after trauma-induced menopause through healthy eating and supplements. What we choose to put into our bodies makes a huge difference, no matter what season of life we are in. Dr. Anna has a few promos for our listeners, and if you are interested in trying Julva or Mighty Maca, Or if you want information about her magic menopause course, 8 weeks to eliminate menopause symptoms, all the links will be in the show notes, or you can go to debbiecunningham.net/girlfriend and get all the information there. Next week on the podcast, we will be talking with Erica John, the author of The Secret to Getting Unstuck, 5 Habits That Will Transform Your Life and Make You Unrecognizable. So I hope you'll join us for that conversation. Thanks for tuning in today. And remember, midlife is just a brand new season to find your passion and purpose for your grand finale. Talk next week.